Okay, we're starting here on Samach Bet Amud Aleph by the new Perek. We're talking about the Hagralah, the choosing of the two Seirim that are used for the Seir LaShem and the Seir LaZazel. Shnei Seire Yom HaKippurim, Mitzvatan, Sheyu Shnehem Shavim B'mare, B'kuma, U'bedamim, U'belekichatam Ke'achad. The two Seirim of Yom HaKippurim, the Mitzvah, the Mitzvah Chatchilo, that they should both be equal. Equal means bimare in appearance, koma height, damim is the value, the cost of the animals, ulukichatam keachad, and you should try to purchase them in a single purchase at the same time. V'afal pi she'ein shavim k'shevim. Obviously, if it's only lechatchila, if it doesn't qualify, in this way, they are kasher b'diavad. V'kach echad hayom, v'echad l'machar, buys one today, one tomorrow, k'shevim. So none of these qualifications are me'akev, or b'diavad, but lechatchila, you should try to have them qualify in this way. Meit echad mehem, if one of them dies. Imad shelo higril meit, if it dies prior to the lottery. Kach zug l'sheni, just bring in a new partner. So you have there a failure of lekichatam keachad, but besides that, you can continue the process by just having the lottery on the new pair. V'im mi shehigril meit, if it's after the lottery it died. Yavi zug acher, then you have to bring another pair. V'yagril aleihem b'tchila, and you do a new lottery. V'yomar, im shel shem meit, ze shala alav hagorad Hashem yitkayim, tachtav. If it was the Seir LaShem that died, then you do the new lottery, and the one that it falls out on the Seir LaShem in the new lottery, you say, that one now will be the Seir LaShem, to replace the original one. V'im shel azazel meit, if it was the Seir LaZazel that died in the first pair, then in the second lottery, whichever one was chosen as the Seir LaZazel will now come and replace the first one. The question as to what you do with the opposite pair, which of the two becomes the primary, is a machloket, we'll see that in the Gemara, which is Ziz Vashini Yireh Aji Yistev, then the second one, second meaning the other one in the lottery, will go out to graze, be macher, and be sold, and the excess capital that is raised from that animal will be used towards the nidavah, means for the mizbeach. When it's batel, they'll use this for korbanot olah. V'she'ein chatat tzibur meitot, as we saw earlier, because it's a chatat tzibur, and even though chamesh chatot meitot, there are five chatot that die, one of them is shnit kapru ba'aleh, that the balim get kapara from a different chatat over here. They're using a different Seir for kapara. Despite the fact, the chatat tzibur is not meitot, that is because out of the chamesh chatot meitot, three of them are not relevant by the tzibur. First of all, chatat shemetu baleha, chatat whose owner passed away. Again, we talked about this, that since Bnei Yisrael are the owners of the korban, and you have a corporate entity, Klal Yisrael, that owns it, so it never dies, because it doesn't matter about the individual participants. Corporate Klal Yisrael is always alive, so you can't have a chatat shemetu baleha. Number two is you can't have a tmurat chatat. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, that Tmura only applies to a Qurban Yachid, does not apply to a Qurban HaTzibur, and Vlad HaChatat doesn't apply because all the Qurbanot HaTzibur are male Chatot. So those three out of the five Chatot that would have been Meitot, they don't exist with Tzibur. The two that do exist by the Tzibur, Chatat Shinit Kapru Baleh, which is in this case a case where they use another Chatat to replace it, and then a chatat that aged out is above 1 year old, that also applies to the tzibur. But since out of the five chataot hametot that are halacha l'moshe misinai, only two out of the five apply to the tzibur, the opinion here of the Tanakamo is it doesn't apply at all. Because two out of the five apply, the other three don't, then it doesn't work. Either you have all five or you don't have them. Therefore, it only applies to chatat yachid, not to chatat tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda omer, tamut. Rabbi Yehuda is not bound by that. He says no. Chatat shnitkapru bala applies by chatat tzibur, and therefore, tamut gets put to death, the one that was not utilized. Vodamar Rabbi Yehuda, nishpach hadam, yamut ha-mishtaleach. If the blood is spilled when you're doing the avodah inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh, Mizbech Zav, along the way, then Yamut HaMishtaleach. The Mishtaleach gets put to death. Meit HaMishtaleach. If the Seir HaMishtaleach dies, Shpoch Adam, then you spill the blood. Question is, what did Rabbi Yehuda add over here? Because we already understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if you have to bring a second pair in, then one of them is going to die, so what is he discussing over here? Obviously, if the blood was spilled, the Seir Mishtalech dies, you have to bring a second pair to deal with this issue. So the Gemara will discuss what Rabbi Yehuda added in this latter statement. Tanur Banan. Ikach shnei sirei izim. Pasuk says in the introductory psukim to the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, it says, when we ate adat bnei Israel, from bnei Israel they're going to pay for ikach shnei sirei izim, two goats, male goats, lechatat, v'el echad le'ola. One ayah le'ola, that's the el ha'am, as well as the shnei sirim. The Gemara says, listen, this is a little bit strange because it says shnei, two. It also says sirei izim, in plural. The minimum of plurality is two. So it seems redundant to say two and then in the plurality. So why does it say shnei sirei izim? That's what the Gemara asks over here. Tanur Banan, ikach shnei sirei izim. Miut sirei shnayim. The minimum, if he had just told me to ikach sirei izim, I would have known that you take two because the minimum of that plurality would have been two. It's a good question. You could have taken more than two and accomplished it. There's a principle in the Gemara. We generally take least chiddush possible to accomplish that which is there. So the least chiddush to accomplish what's written in the pasuk is a minimum of two. Whenever the Torah gives you that type of chiddush, the Gemara will do this in numerous places. It says, look, if you have a plural, then the minimum of a plural is two. So the minimum of sirei izim to accomplish what the pasuk says would have been two. So now, ma tamad omar shnei. So then why do you have to tell me shnei sirei izim? Shiu shnehem shavim. That tells you that they both have to be equal. So this is the limud that teaches you that they both have to be equal is the fact that there's redundancy in the pasuk in saying two. Since this is the redundancy, the two must have some meaning. That meaning is that they should be similar. Minayin afal pi shein shnehem shavim kshirim. How do you know that that's only a requirement lechatchila and not bidiavad? Tamad omar seir seir. Because the pasukim later on used the term seir repetitively, which is V'ikriv Aron et ha-seir, asher Allah alav ha-gural ha-shem v'asau chatat. And then again, the next pasuk, v'asir, asher Allah alav ha-gural ha-zazel, yomod chai lifnei Hashem, nechaper alav, l'shalach uto la-zazel ha-midbara. So since over there it uses the word seir in the singular, and it does it twice, riba, it includes it. Meaning that even if they are individually brought, and they don't have all these requirements, then it still works. So Gemara says, Taima the Rabbi Rachmana. It's only because the pasuk says Seir twice that we say that it's not Me'akev. Ha lo Rabbi Rachmana. Had it not been for Seir Seir, Havamina Psulim, we would have thought they are Pasul, meaning that even Vidiavada would be a problem. Ikuva Minolan. Where do you know such an Ikuv? We've discussed this before. Whenever you have in Kodoshim, the Torah only mentions something once, that means it's Lachat Chila. If it's Shana Lava Katuv, if it wrote it twice, then it's an Ikuv. All we see so far is a singular expression of Shnei Sirei Izim. Okay, so that tells us that it should be similar. Where do you have Shana Lava Katuv? Where do you have the second mentioning of this to tell you that you must do it even b'diavad, that I need another pasuk to tell me, don't worry about it. Salkadat Chamina Shnei Shnei Shnei. Which is, after the pasuk that we read, it begins the Avodah, talks about the Par Aron, and then the next pasuk says, V'lakach et Shnei Hasi'irim, and then again, so three times the Torah uses the word shnei next to a plural, si'irim. So each one of those shnei is redundant, extraneous, and that gives you the limud. That would have told you that this shnei is li'ikuv. That means the fact that they have to be similar or identical is li'ikuv. Along comes sa'ir, sa'ir, to remove it. So now the obvious question is, once I've removed it, what do I do with all these shneis that I have here? That's what the Gemara asks now. The Gemara says, "V'hashta the Rabbi Rachmana seir seir." Now that the Torah tells you, don't think that way, because I have seir seir, the rebote, to say that it's only lechatchila, not midiavad, it's not me'akev, then shnei, 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 lomali. What do I do with these shnei, shnei, shnei? So, chad limar'e, v'chad lekoma, v'chad damim. So the way we have the girsa in our Gemara, the Tosfot Yishanim brings three different girsaot that they had in the Gemarot. This is one of them, obviously. Chad lemareh, one is for its appearance. The other one is the koma, its height. Chad damim, and its value. Our Mishnah mentions four qualifications. Our Mishnah mentioned these three qualifications plus the kichatam ke'achad, that they have to be purchased at the same time. That's not mentioned in this threesome over here. Why is that, that it's absent in this case? So the Tosfot Yishanim says, v'omar rabbi, that the reason they didn't do that is because the pasuk says ikach shnei sirei izim. So it's obvious that the ikach is modifying the shnei sirei izim. The fact that they're juxtaposed is enough to tell us that the kitam keachad is also a part of this puzzle. Then he has two other possible girsaot in the Gemara. Chadle mare ule koma. Mare and koma are put together in a single limud, which is appearance and height are together. That's all about the physical attributes of the animal. The second one would be the damim, the third one for the kikhatam ke'achad. And then there's one more girsa, which is, v'yishrim the guys, chad mare ule koma, v'chad damim. There's another girsa that says one of them is for mare and koma, one of them is for the price, and then the last sheni comes because, first of all, it's the pshat, but then he kach shnei tzirim, and that gives you the third limud. So you have different girsot in the Gemara, but they're all coming to the same conclusion, which is, you have these four qualifications that come out of these three words, shnei, that are mentioned in the Gemara. Now, Tanya, Nami Hochi Gabe Kivse Mitzora. What the Gemara does now, it says, we have a bunch of these in the Torah, and we're gonna go through them now, and discuss how we have not the same concept, where we have a requirement of things being similar. We're gonna see whether it's Lakev, and if it's not Lakev, then what do we do with the Psukim that teach us the extraneous material? So this is from Parshat Mitzora. We discussed the Tarata Mitzora yesterday. So once again, here we're in the Tarata Mitzora. By the Tarata Mitzora, he has to bring, we're going to do in a second, the beginning of his Tarat process, which involves the birds. That's going to be the next limud in the Gemara. But on the eighth day, once he's completed his whole Tarat process, he comes to the Mikdash, and then he has to bring, when he comes to the Mikdash. V'yom ha-shmini yikach shnei kivasim t'mimim, v'kav sa'achat v'atshnata t'mima. Yesterday we dealt with the log echad shomen that he brings. But there are three animals that he brings. He brings two kivasim, and one kivsa. The kivsa is going to go to be the chatat, and the kvasim, one of them will be an ola, one of them will be an asham. But you have the same problem here, which is, v'yom ha-shmini yikach shnei kvasim t'mimim. Shnei kvasim, all you had to say was, v'yom ha-shmini yikach kvasim t'mimim. Kvasim is plural, so the minimum of two. Why do you need shnei kvasim? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. Tanya nami ochi gabi kivse mitzora, yikach shnei kvasim, miyut kvasim shnayim, matom lomar shnei. So then why do I need the shnayim over here? So shiyu shnehem shavim. So to teach you that they both are equal. So the same limud that we have here by Yom HaKippurim, we also have by the Kibtzei Mitzora. Uminayin sh'afo pi she'en shnehem shavim ksherim. How do you know this is only lechatchila, not bidiavad? Tam lomar keves keves riba. So that comes further on in the next psukim afterwards. It says, V'lakach ha-kohen et ha-keves ha-echad, v'kivoto la-sham, et lo ga-shamen, v'nifoto t'ma v'ne-ashem, v'shachat et ha-keves, v'mkom ha-sheishchat et ha-chatat, et ola v'mkom ha-kodesh. So here you have the word keves mentioned over and over again. You don't need the word keves to be mentioned here, because we know that a-sham is always a male, and you could have just said, V'lakach oto a-sham. Why does it have to mention the word keves? So the word keves here is extraneous, and therefore Riba tells you that even if they're dissimilar, it's okay. When they bring it in the shnei, then it tells you you have to be shavin. When they bring a pasuk of seir seir or keves keves, it's telling you that even the singular form is okay, meaning that even if they're different than their partner, it's okay. So taima de Rabbi Rachmana. That's only because the Torah included it through keves keves. Do I say that's okay? Halo Rabbi Rachmana. If there wasn't this riboy, Havamina psulim. I would have thought they were pasul. Ikuva minolan. Same question, which is, I have one pasuk telling me they have to be similar. Where's the second pasuk telling me that it's the ikuv? Sakadat ramina tiek tiv. That is because by the mitzorah it says, zot tie torat ha mitzorah. So zot tie torat ha mitzorah, tie is a behaviato yehei. That has to be exactly along these lines. So you would think that's like the word chukah that makes it the ikuv. So tie means that it'll be the ikuv over here. Now the Gemara says, well, hashta the Rabbi Rachmana, keves keves. So now that I have the Torah saying keves keves, which says that it's not me'akev, tia lomali. Then what do I do with zotia mitzora? The Gemara says, l'shar havayoto shel mitzora. It still is me'akev, but everything else that the mitzora has to do. All the other procedural elements that are mentioned here in the Torah, those are me'akev. Happens to be this one factor is not me'akev, but everything else is me'akev. And then again, v'tanya nami gabe mitzora. We have another bright type of mitzora, as I mentioned before, Ki'ai Gavna with regards to the Tzipurim. Over here we're discussing the eighth day of the Mitzorah. Here is the first day of the Tarata Mitzorah. Over there he goes on the first day, and they go out to the field, and he brings V'tziva Kohen, V'lekach L'mitaher, Shtei Tzipurim Chayot Teorot, V'tzeres V'shnito Lad V'ezov. Again, Tzipurim, the minimum of Tzipurim is two, so why does it tell me that there are Shtei Tzipurim? So Gemara is going to darshan the same thing again. Tzipurim miyut tzipurim ishtaim. The minimum of tzipurim is two. Matom lamar shtei. So why does it tell you I need two? Shiyu shtehem shavot, that the birds should be similar. They should be the same. How do you know that even if they are not similar, it's okay? Bidiavad. Tamalomar, tzipor, tzipor, riba. Because the Torah afterwards then goes, v'tzipa kwein v'shachat et tzipor ayachat. Akli charez amayim chayim. Et tzipor achaya yikachota. So here you have again, tzipor, tzipor. Because the Torah then mentions them in the singular form, again, unnecessarily, you could have just been, v'shachat et achat. Like when it took in one of them, of course, there are only two of them here, so if you take one, and then you do it with the other one, and the et achayat, and you can go forward. The fact that it mentions the word tzipor is unnecessary. So again, here it teaches us that this din is only v'chadchila, not v'diavad. May I ask the same question? Time of the Rabbi Rachmana. It's only because the Torah included it over here, meaning that tzipor, tzipor tells you that it's l'chadchila, not b'diavad. Hello, Rabbi Rachmana, without tzipor, tzipor, psulot, it would have been pasul, even b'diavad, ikuva minolan. Where do you know the fact that it is me'akev? So here you have shtei tziporim, so that teaches l'chadchila. Where is the repeat of this? To teach you that it is also l'ikuv. Sakatat chamina tiyektiv, because of zotiyet torata mitzora. Again, that's the header of the parsha, Zotiyet Torata Mitzora. I would have thought that it is Me'akev, because I have the Tiyah here, telling me that the whole Seder HaMitzora is Me'akev. V'hashtu the Rabbi Rachmana Tzipor, now that the Torah went out of its way and said Tzipor, so now it tells me it's not Me'akev, but rather only the Chatchila. Tiyah Elomali. What do I need Zotiyah Mitzora for? The Shar Aviyato Shal Mitzora. The same answer we gave before, which is, it's true by the Tziporim, it's not Me'akev. It's true by the Kivsei Mitzorah, it's not Me'akev, but everything else in the procedures of the Mitzorah are Me'akev. And the Zotiyet Mitzorah is referencing the remainder of the Parsha, just not these two issues, because here we have a specific riboy to say, do not say that this is even B'diavad, it's not Me'akev, it's only L'chadchila. Here we have three manifestations of this same din, the Seirim of Yom HaKippurim, Kivsei Mitzorah, and the Tziporim and the Mitzorah, all the exact same type of limud, which is an extraneous shnei or shtei. And because of that, we say they should be equal. But because afterwards, each one of them is mentioned individually, we say that it's not me'akev. And why would you have thought it's me'akev? And then we give a reason. And then we give a reason why it would have been me'akev. Now it's not me'akev. We have to do something else with the equal. By the shnei seirim, we had the word shnei, 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 so we used those. Whereas by the mitzorah and the tziporim, we had the word tiyeh, and we say it applies to the rest of the parsha, not to these two issues. Right now, the Gemara moves on and says, well, we're on a roll. Let's try one more. Ihachi gabet midim nami. What about the Kurban Tamid? It says, Kvasim b'nei shana, shnaim layom. Kvasim is a minimum of two. Why are you telling me shnaim layom? Why do I need shnaim if you already told me kvasim? So miyut kvasim shnaim, matom lomar shnaim. So then why does the pasuk say shnaim? Already have kvasim. Shiu shnehem shavim. Maybe they should have to also be equal to tzmidim. Minayin shavu pishen shnehem shavim ksherim. So how do you know that even if they're not equal, that they would be ksherim? Tam lomar keves keves riba. The keves echad taseh baboker, the keves asheni taseh ben arabayim. So you have keves keves, so that's not me'akev. Looks great. Oh, the mitzvah, hachanami de be'ina? The Gemara says, it's really nice. But where do you ever find such a requirement in Mishnayot? I don't have a single Mishnah in Shas that tells me that the two tmidim have to be equal. You have a limud, it's a nice limud, but we have no evidence of that in the Tanaic works that there was ever such a requirement. Tosafot asks your question, which is, how come the Gemara over here rejects the idea of the tmidim having this requalification because it's not found in Mishnayot? Whereas, they didn't ask that question when it comes to the Mitzorah. You could have said the same thing. So Tosafot says over here, V'yesh lomar, the El Dafka Parak Shapir, Mishum, the Choseder Tamid. It's not in Leibim Masechet Tamid. Because the issue of Tamid is addressed in the Mishnayot. We have a whole Masechet Tamid that discusses the process of the Korban Tamid. So if this was a qualification, it should have been in that Masechet. The fact that there's a Masechet dedicated to the Tamid, and it doesn't mention it, that's suspicious. By other things, when we don't have them written with a specific masechta that discusses, especially we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to discuss the Musafim. There's nothing dedicated specifically to that. Therefore, we don't worry about that. Now again, by the Mitzorah, we found two Braitot. By the Mitzorah, we have a Braitot, which is a Tanaic work that mentions it, so that we're less reluctant about dealing with. Over here, we're talking about the Tmidim is the Gemara's suggestion. They're not bringing a Braitot to support this. They're going off on their own and saying, that drush is a nice drush, I'm going to apply it to the Tmidim. The Gemara rejects that and says, I don't have any Tanaic works that support that version. But why should I have a Tanaic work? Because I have a Masechet Tamid that should have addressed it. The fact that it's not addressed already is suspicious. So that's why the Gemara poses the question here. Where do we ever find such a thing? So the Gemara says, "How me bailet?" You're right. We're not going to darshan that because we need the shnayim over there for something else, which is the Ketanya, for another brayta, which is shnayim nayom kineged hayom. Well, shnayim nayom means it has to be opposite the day, which we'll explain in 1 second. Ata omer kineged hayom oin ela chovat hayom. When he says shnayim nayom, is that teaching you twice a day, meaning once in the morning, once in the afternoon, or is it kineged hayom means opposite the day, which we'll explain in a second? Sure, merita kevesechad taseh baboker, merita kevesechanit taseh ben arba'im. It already told you what the two times of the day are. Hari chovat hayom amur tells you what time of day that you bring the two of them. Omani mikayem shnayim nayom. So then what do I do with the shnayim nayom? Kineged hayom. It's opposite the day. Ketzad. What does that mean? Tamid shel shachar haya nishchat akemin tzvonit maravit al tabat shniyah. Right, we'll do this piece by piece. The Qurban Tamid of Shachar was done on the north side. North side is because it's Kodshei Kodoshim. Kodshei Kodoshim require that you do the Shechita on the north. Then it is done on the northwestern side. The western side, because that's Keneged Hayom. In the morning, the sun rises in the east. So if you want to be opposite the day, then you do it on the west. So you're opposite the sun that is in the east. Now, Tabat Shniyah, I'm going to come back and deal with this in a second, but just... So you know, there were rings that were on the north side of the Mizbeach. The Mishnah in Midot tells us there were 24 rings for the 24 Mishmarot. Each Mishmar had a ring that belonged to it. There the Mishnah discusses whether it's 4 rows of 6 or 6 rows of 4. But they lay out in a square area of about 24 by 24 amot that are on the north side of the Mizbeach. So lined up. What it says here is you go to the Tabat Shniyah, away from the Mizbeach. The southernmost rings are the closest to the Mizbeach. So it says, don't use the rings in the first row, use the ring in the second row. So you're taking the northwest. Northwest means that you go to the second row of rings. You're on the northern side of the Mizbeach, and the most west of that ring. We'll discuss in a second why, Tabat Shniyah. Mishol ben Arabayim, and then when it comes to the afternoon one, Ayah Nishkat al Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit. Tzafon, again, is necessary because it's Kodshei Kodashim. Mizrachit is on the eastern side of the Tabaot, to pick the most eastern of the Tabaot, because that's opposite where the sun sets in the western side, al Tabat Shniyah, again on the second ring. Shnayim Hayom is Keneged Hayom. Keneged Hayom means when you do the Shechita, you skew to the east or west to be opposite where the sun is rising. Morning, where the sun rises in the east, you move to the west. In the evening, when it's setting in the west, you move to the east. Keneged Hayom, opposite the day. Tosafot does raise the issue here, which is, this is all great, but the pasuk says shnayim layom. I don't need the shnayim to teach me that. All it teaches me is, if you just told me layom, that would teach me keneged hayom. The drasha is on the word yom, not on the word shnayim. Shnayim is not necessarily relevant over here. And the question was, why do you have the word shnayim? So Tosafot goes out of the way to say, well, if it only said layom and not shnayim, I would have thought the next pasuk is a keves echad that said baboker, it only applies to the boker one. So I would say, like, yom, okay, what does it have to be opposite the days? That keves echad baboker. But the keves ben arba'im is not modified by it. So we need shnayim layom to tell me that it modifies both of them have to be keneged hayom. Not just the keves echad baboker, but also the keves echad ben arba'im has to be opposite the day. Alright, now, Fred asks about the Tabaot. What's the story with this Tabaot over here? The Tabaot are instituted or put in place by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It's a Mishnah in Sotah. Mishnah in the ninth parak in Sotah. Mishnah Yud says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol put all these institutions together, and it says there, Mipnei HaNokfim, they put in place the Tabaot. So Gemara asks, my Nokfim, what are these individuals? So Gemara gives two answers. One answer was that they used to cut, make a incision between the horns of the calf before they shechted it, so that the blood would run down into the eyes of the calf and mitatesh and confuse it. I assume they did it because it was easier to shecht at that point in time because it was confused. It couldn't fight with them. That's one answer. The second answer is that they used to beat it with sticks over the head. Again, I assume for the same reason, which was to have the animals be more cooperative. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol comes in, and either in the first case he says, Amatai, you are doing this like the people do it in Avodah Zarah. Seems to be that was a practice in Avodah Zarah to make the cut and let the blood come down. And the second one is Admatai Atah Makriv Trefot or Nevelot. We might change it from Nevelot to Trefot. Lashem, if you're hitting it on the head, you could make a break in the Moach film that's around the brain, could be broken or ruined, and you can make the animal do a Trefot. So he instituted these rings. These rings were used to insert the animal and hold it in place so they could shecht it without giving them a hard time. It's equivalent of like a horseshoe. I don't know if they could open it and put it back. It's not clear exactly, but they call it a tabat. But it was something akin to a horseshoe. So they could insert the neck into it and lock it into place so he wouldn't fight them when they were shechting the animal. So it avoided the need for this other type of behavior, which was clearly inappropriate, so they put in the rings. Again, a question whether it's only for behemoth gasol. For the larger animals, they needed it, but the smaller animals were not problematic. They didn't fight as much, either more passive, or you could overcome them. With the cow, it could be they could really give you a hard time, para or para, and that you wouldn't be able to do anything with them. So the tabaot are put in place. Each one mishmar got their own. And many times we saw that in Mikdash, that each mishmar got their own. It was a, this is yours, this is where you use it. They had knives for each mishmar. They use their own knives. It's an issue of responsibility. If you only have one of any item, there's a diffusion of responsibility. Every mishmar says the other one who did it or caused the problem. If you have your own mishmar's ring, then the only people to blame are the people in your mishmar. You have to be responsible for it. You're responsible for your knives, you're responsible for your tabot. This way you force them to take responsibility for what's theirs. It's a much better way of, when you make people responsible, they take care of it. So that's, I assume, why they made 24 of them. Now, why tabaat hashnia? That is a question that the Gemara does not address. It's with why they did it in the tabaat shnia. Rashi speculates over here. In the time of the tabaat shnia lo yadana, Rashi says, I don't know why it's on the tabaat shnia. Vani shamati. Says, I heard. That means that, you know, this wasn't coming as a Masorah from his Rebbein, but he had heard. The reason is, Kadesh HaRishon HaMesayato. And he could use the first one to help him out. Then he would lock the legs into the first Tabat, and the head into the second Tabat. Oh, so Tosfot Yishanim asks Ira's question, and says, Rashi's answer makes no sense. Because if you do that, you force the behemah to have its backside towards the mizbech. And we already discussed that we don't like that when we were talking about the Avodat Yom HaKippurim. We don't want the back of the animal facing the mizbech because it's possible that it could defecate at that time. And it would be inappropriate, so you would never put the back of the animal towards. So if you're using the first row, which is the closest to the mizbech, to lock the legs, that means that its backside is towards the mizbech. So Tosfot Yishanim says Rashi is clearly wrong here, that it cannot be the explanation for why it's the Tabat Shnia. Tosfot says, Nirla mina din ayelo shechot al Tabat Rishona. Tosfot says you should have done it on the first ring. But lo ratzu lak yivok hu lehai lemizbeach hu lehav seik. They didn't want to bring it right to the mizbeach because they were shema yitol gilalim. For exactly that reason, they put on the second one, not the first, is because if it did defecate, even if it wasn't facing the mizbeach, there'd be at least some space between it and the mizbeach. So that was okay. Tosfot Yishanim over here, after rejecting Rashi's reason, then brings other possibilities. The Rabbi Nira mefresh tam atabat shnia haynu klapei amizbeach bishal atabat rishonan meitzal kota mizbeach. He says the problem was that they wanted to do it kineged ayom. Then the kineged ayom, you have very high walls of the azara, but you also have the mizbeach itself, which is very high. If the mizbeach is very high, it's going to cast a shadow also over the first set of rings. So he says that, his Rebbe said, because the sun, we're in the northern hemisphere. So when the sun is rising and setting, it's going to be skewed to the southern side. So if you have the sun rising and setting on the southern side, it's coming across the Mizbeach, which is south of the rings. The Mizbeach is casting a shadow. So he claims that the shadow in the Mizbeach was not connected to Yom when you were on the first row. That's why they went to the second row, so they could clear the Mizbeach. So that was the Tosfot Yishanim. So you have three different reasons as to why they used the Tabat HaShnia. Rashi over here says the way they set it up was, Pnei Yeshochet v'tzavar v'ema b'lachsom was an angle. L'tzad mizrachit tzvonit was facing the mizrach, is the east, and tzvonit, the north. So when you face a little bit towards the north, and a little bit towards the east where the sun was rising. And then on the way down, when it was the sunset, they used to panav marav darom. They used to face the southwest at that time, because that's where the sun sets, in the southwestern side. So that's what Rashi says in terms of his facing. It's very interesting. That means that when he was shechting the behemah in the morning, if he's facing northeast, he actually has his back towards the Kodesh Shaim. Yeah, which is very interesting. At least the way Rashi's explaining it, that Keneged Ayom would force you to do that. Because if you have to face towards the east, that means that your back is towards the west where the Kodesh HaKodeshim is. That might be why Rashi wants you to do it at an angle. Facing the northeast, that's also interesting because he says that the sun rises on the northeastern side, which isn't so clear. It should be rising on the southeastern side, not the northeastern side. But at least he has him on an angle, probably to prevent this problem of you having your back towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. All right, Musafim Shel Shabbat, Vaday Tzrichim Shiyu Shneim Shavim. The Korbanei Musaf of Shabbat, that it's definitely they have to be equal, because it says of Yom HaShabbat, Shnei Kvasim. So Shnei Kvasim over there, you don't have at the Keves Achad, you don't have any Keves to take it out of that. So it says Shnei Kvasim. So this is where Tosfot asks, we don't find that anywhere in Shas. So how come here you don't have a problem with it? That's because there's no Masechet Musafim. There's only a Masechet Tamid. So there we expect to find it. Masechet Musafim, we don't find that. And therefore the Gemara is willing to entertain that possibility that it's actually by the Korbanei Musaf.
And it's Ma'akev.
Oh, so that's a question here. Rashi changes the gears of the Gemara and he says, Nira de Garcinan over here, Shtaim le Mitzvah. Rashi changes the girsa. Tosafot says, I don't know why Rashi is changing the girsa over here. Every other sefer before Rashi came along said, Shnaim li'ikuva. That it's even b'di'avad. And he says, because later on in the pasuk it says, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. And that's li'ikuv. That teaches the ikuv. Remember, you need to be shana lava ketuv. Rashi says, where do you find an ikuv? I know shnei kvasim, but where do you get an ikuv from? You need it to be repeated another time. It's not repeated anymore. So that's the case. Rashi says, it's the mitzvah. It's only the chatchilo. Tosafot says, no, the parsha ends, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato, to teach you that it's li'ikuv. So Tosafot says, thinks that this statement is li'ikuv, whereas Rashi thinks it's only the mitzvah, it's only the chatchila. Tarabanan, Shnei sirei yom ha-kippurim she-shachtan b'chutz, ad shelo higril, if he does them b'chutz, b'chutz here does not mean in the mikdash, b'chutz means literally outside the mikdash. This is called shchutei chutz. He does shchutei chutz. Ad shelo higril aleihem, if he does it prior to the lottery, chayav al shneihem, he's chayav on both of them. He's chayav on both of the sirim. Mishi higril aleihem, once he has agrala, chayav al shem. He's only chayav on the sir la-shem, upatur shel azazel. Because the requirement of shkutei chutz is something that would have been brought petach ol moed, and you do it outside. So the seir l'ashem is supposed to be brought inside, now you do it outside, you're chayav. The seir l'azel is never going to be brought inside, so when you shecht it outside, it's not a chiyuv of shkutei chutz. So actually, gril aleihem chayav al shnehem. Before you do the lottery, you're chayav on both of them. The mai chazu, why? What are they ra'oi for? So David says, well, each one could be the seir l'ashem. But by definition, if you do both of them, one of them is not l'seir la'ashem. So why are you chayav on both of them? So Meir says, Amar Rav Chisda over oil l'seir ha'naseh b'chutz. Don't forget that on Yom Kippur, the seir ha'naseh b'chutz, there's a seir of the Musafim. That also comes on Yom Kippur from Parshat Pinchas. Seir can be utilized for the Musafim. So they are ra'oi bifnim. U'mayishna l'seir ha'naseh bifnim, t'lo mechusar hagrala. Wait a minute. Why did you say that? What's different about the Seir Nesevim? Over there, it's not considered to be ra'uay for the Seir Nesevim because you're still missing the Hagrala. It's also missing the Avodat Hayom. I mean, the reason that you say that, what could it be ra'uy for? So when you take the two Sirim and you shech them before the Hagrala, why are you chayav on both of them? Well, the possibility is you're chayav on both of them, like David said before, because since you haven't done the Hagrala, we don't know which one's Leshem and which one's the Azazel. You're missing the Hagrala. The Hagrala is what defines something as Bi'al Asir Leshem. So the Hagrala is something that steps between you. That's why you're not chayav on both of them, because you're missing the Hagrala. So now the Seir HaSeir B'chutz also is missing something. How about the whole day's Avoda before you get to the Seir HaChutz? It's not Ra'uy B'fnim yet. It's not Ra'uy B'fnim. Why do we say the reason that you're Chayav on the Seirim when you do them B'chutz is because of the Seir of the Musafim? Why don't you say you're Chayav on them because of the Seir HaShem? The answer is because the Seir HaShem you need the Hagrala. Without the Hagrala, it's not called the Seir HaShem. It's not anything yet. So since it's not a Seir HaShem, it doesn't qualify. So Gemara says, why don't you say the same thing by Seir HaChutz? Seir Musafim, we know Seder Avodat Yom Kippurim is Ma'akev. You can't bring the Musafim until you've done all this other stuff. It's not Ra'uy L'Seir HaChutz either. Now the Gemara answers, Kasavar Rav Chisda, Ein Mechusar Zman Lebo B'Yom. Time is not a problem. Time is not considered to be a Ma'akev. To get to the Seir HaChutz, all you have to do is wait. If you just wait till you get to the Seir Musafim, you'll get to the Seir Musafim on that day, and that's fine. So the only Ma'akev is just waiting. Once you wait, you get there. On the other hand, by the Seir HaNaseh Bifnim, you need to take an action that is called Hagrala. Otherwise, it's never defined as the Seir La Hashem. So Amar Avina Ashved, Amar Avista Mechusar Hagrala, Mechusar Maaseh Delmi, that when you've yet to do the lottery, it's the equivalent of missing a Maaseh, so the thing is not qualified to be brought Bifnim. There's a rule that shlamim, you cannot shech them before they open the doors of the Eichal, because it says, petach omoed. So it has to be when the omoed is open. You've got to be able to shech the shlamim once the doors are open. That means if you do it beforehand, it's pasul. What happens if you shech b'chutz before the doors are opened in the azara? So now in the azara, you'll be disqualified. So out by chutz, you're not going to be chayav b'shkutei chutz, because you couldn't have done it bifnim at that time. Only when it's open, not when it's closed. So therefore, shachatan b'chutz, kodem shniftuchu daltot teichal, vishachtan b'chutz, before they open up the doors, patur. You're patur, why? My time, amechusar p'ticha, kemechusar maisedami. The opening of the doors is the equivalent of the Hagrala. Just like the Hagrala tells you that the Seir Lashem is not qualified yet to be a Seir Lashem, therefore, you have to look for another reason why you're chayav in shutei chutz. So too by the shlamim. If you bring the shlamim b'chutz before they open up the doors, it's not qualified bifnim, at b'chutz you're not going to be chayav. Just to summarize here, in terms of shutei chutz, the only time you're chayav shutei chutz is when it's qualified to be brought bifnim. After the hagrala, the seir l'ashem is qualified to be brought bifnim. Therefore, you're chayav on it. The Seir Lazel is not, so you're not. Before the Hagrala, neither of them are qualified to be the Seir Lashem yet. That's why you're not chayav on it, because you're missing the Hagrala. The Hagrala is a missing piece. Therefore, you can't say it's the Seir Lashem that's making you chayav. What's making you chayav here? Because they could be utilized for another Seir that day, which is the Seir of the Musafim. And that's why you're chayav for it, because it could be used for the Seir Musafim. Seir Musafim need to wait. Time is not a barrier. Maisa is a barrier. An action is a barrier between it being Roli Bifnim and not, but time is not a factor. So by the Musafim, you just wait and you'll be okay. But by the Hagrala, you have to actually take an action. The Gemara then extrapolates and it says the same thing by Shlamim. Shlamim require the doors to be open in order to be kosher inside. That means if the doors are not opening, you're missing a Maisa. If you're missing a Maisa, that means if you shech them b'chutz outside the Mikdash, a Shlamim, before the doors are open in the Mikdash, you're not chayav because you're missing a Maisa like the Hagrala in order to qualify it Bifnim. Since it's not Roi Bifnim, you're not chayav karet av shchutei chutz. Okay, we'll stop over here.